this morning and turn with us to the 19th Psalm. We would like to take for our text this morning this division of the Psalms as written by David, mostly as we know, this one in particular, certainly written by him. Not certain as to when in David's life or under what circumstances he penned these words, but as you read this psalm, it is not hard to imagine the places where David may have been or what he may have been looking at or experiencing when he wrote these words. Read with me Psalm chapter 19, verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, is how the colonists declared unto England their independence so many years ago. They wrote a document which is now part of the foundation of our country and the freedoms that we possess. They wrote a document separating themselves from the tyrannical control of England. It was bold and daring for them to do so, to make this declaration at a time when the colonies of America were striving for freedom from the domineering crown, for liberty for all people, and for freedom from the most powerful nation on the earth. This declaration, of course, that they had written was to simply inform England of what was present in their heart and what the reality was within the American colonies. The document itself did actually have no power. It was just to simply inform them or to declare. For a declaration is an affirmation. A declaration is an open expression of facts. The purpose of a declaration is to make known or to make plain. And that document was their effort to openly and plainly display what their intentions were and the reasons for the separation that they sought from the government of England. Now in this psalm, you'll notice in verse number 1 the word declare. And as we have read through it, you'll find that it easily divides up into two sections. Actually, we'll divide it into three this morning. But I believe that if you were to consider a title for this psalm, it might well be the declaration of God in three parts. The declaration of God unto man in three parts. Though the subject certainly is far different and more reaching in its scope and importance, his declaration is for the same purpose. The declaration of God unto man, as we read of it here in these words penned by David so long ago is to openly affirm or declare the facts about himself. To openly affirm or declare who he is. To make himself known. To make himself plain. That is the purpose for the declarations of God here. There are those today that think that God is mysterious to the point where he cannot be known. Some believe that God exists, but yet believe that no one can truly know him or to understand who he is. Now, I will readily be the first to admit that we fail many times in our understandings of God, that our finite minds and our abilities find themselves being taxed to the point of their maximum to try to understand God. But that is not because he has hidden himself. God is not hidden today. He is not hidden and beyond our reach. God, in fact, has taken bold actions to ensure that man is able to know him to one degree or another, depending on grace. He has taken bold steps and actions so that we may know him by his declaration. For our time together this morning, we want to consider this psalm. We want to consider the declarations of God unto man. Again, because the very purpose of a declaration is to make known, to shed light on, and to make plain. Now, the colonists' declaration began when in the course of human events, as we have said, if we were to put words to the declaration of God and how it begins, it would begin back in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 3 when God said, "Let there be light." For that is what David begins to talk about here. God's declaration unto man is first seen as he declares himself in creation. That's the first part of the declaration of God as seen from this passage. And it begins, "Let there be light." Or is that not the first action we read of God taking in creation? We know that the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep and there was darkness, and God commanded that there be light, and his light shone. We see that when man was created 5 literal days later in that week of creation, that God had already begun declaring himself unto man before man ever existed. Before Adam and Eve were created, God, through a series of days and events, created all the things needed for man. And in that creation, God declares himself unto us, even still today. Our text, Psalm's first division, speaks to this. And in creation, God boldly declares to man, everywhere we look, and with everything we experience, he declares, "I am." He declares, "I exist." He declares that "I am on the throne. I am God." Notice here in verse number 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." The heavens declare, make plain and known to us the God of heaven. They speak to us of his splendor and of his glory, of his majesty and of his power. They declare to us each and every moment of every day that God is. Like we talked about the Psalms last week, like we talked about the Proverbs last Wednesday, we get so used to what we see and what we sing and what we read that we forget to see God in those things. And the same is true for our everyday life. So often when we talk about God being witnessed in creation, we talk about man in his depraved state being shown there's a God, and that's part of it. But you know what? For each and every one of us this morning, regardless of our spiritual estate, God is boldly declaring every moment of every day, "I exist, I am God, and I reign." He does so through what we see in creation. Everything that we can see, touch, taste, smell, and hear, God has brought into existence for the very purpose that we would know, as he declares who he is, that he is God. This serves as a declaration to all men everywhere. There's not a soul upon the face of the earth that is exempt, that can be somewhere upon this earth or anywhere that can look around and say, I don't see God. He's everywhere. He's everywhere not only in that He is a spirit, in that He fills the entirety of creation, but He is everywhere because, as it says here in verse 1, the firmament showeth His handiwork. The firmament, referring in specific to that which divides earth from that which is around us. But if you take it a little more generalized than that, just thinking about all of God's creation showing us the works of His own hands. That's what handiwork means. The very works of His hands are seen each and every day in everything that goes on around us. How often do we look out the window of morning and see the sun shining brightly and think about God is saying, hello, I am here on the throne of heaven. How often do we lay our heads down at night and, having looked up to the stars, thank God that He is. For as He looks upon us and as He shows us His creation, He is declaring Himself to us time and time and time again. And both of us, saved and lost individuals today, need to be reminded every moment of every day that God is. You're never alone. God is. You're surrounded by His creation. Every single day, God is communicating through that creation to us. He is boldly declaring to us that He is. We notice in verse number 2 that part of this declaration of God is not just in the physical things that we can see as far as, or touch, or taste. I mean, as you begin to really immerse yourself in this topic, you begin to see things in a whole different way. Things that are taken for granted by us. Things that are experienced by us hundreds of times every day. God is there saying, it's Me. I put this here for you. I have brought it into your life that you might have what you need, that you might see Me. What a glorious thing. But it also exists not just in the things we touch and see, but it's also in things like, as it says in verse number 2, day and night. Day and night, verse 2, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. The words that David uses to express his heart here speak to us of a constant story that is being told by the pageantry that goes on each and every day in the constant succession of day and night, of day and night, of day and night. We take that for granted as well. But it is there, and it is happening every single day. And David says it's telling a story. Every time the sun comes up and you experience what we call daytime, God is telling a story of Himself and about His creation, of His power, of His sovereignty, of His majesty. Every time night falls, God is preparing that evening for the rest of our body and for the shining of the stars and the moon. And it's telling a story to us. All of creation works together to tell us a story. We see night and day falling in sort of a rhythmic dance, each knowing their place, and abiding there until the other is scheduled to arrive, of course, by God. Who controls when the sun rises and sets? Who controls when night comes on and when it abates? Who is the one that is in charge of the shining of the sun and the rising of the moon? Who is it that brings the stars out at night? It is God. It is God that does all of those things. Each and every day, each and every night, and it continues on and on and on. When the moon is out and breathtaking, or the sun is scorching the earth, it is God declaring to us that He is. And as we see in verse number 3, this is a universal declaration in a universal language. Notice there he says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The voice of what? The voice of day and night. Day uttering its speech or language, and night showing its knowledge. There is not a place upon the earth where this language is not heard, where God has not declared. I can't speak Swahili or Italian or any other language but English. Don't do very well at that sometimes. And so I'm limited as to what I can do as far as spreading the gospel or talking to people from other countries about God. But this is a universal language. And He speaks to all people. As the sun rises and sets, as the moon breaks forth in its beauty to give the night some light. It is a glorious and beautiful thing that happens. All at the direction, at the mighty hand of God, He is declaring Himself unto man. He's saying, I am. There are those that would believe all that has happened by random chance, that it is all staying in its rhythmic dance by some kind of, happenstance, and it just, is working out that way. But we know that not to be the case. We know that God began it all as He spoke and declared, made the beginning of His declaration, let there be light, and then earth, and then stars and moon, and then animals and plants, and then of course, mankind Himself. And since that time, God has continued to declare Himself. God has continued to declare Himself through creation. We notice in verses 4 through 6 that David speaks expressly of the sun. I find this interesting, of course, because of the big event that's happening tomorrow with the eclipse. We'll have more to say about that tonight. But you notice here in verse number 4, it says, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Again, talking about that universal language. Talking about that handiwork in the firmament. In verse number 4, he concludes by saying, in them He hath set a tabernacle for the sun, a dwelling place. A dwelling place for the sun. What an amazing thing to consider how large and huge we believe the sun to be. By study of astronomy and those kinds of things, they tell us it's huge. They tell us that it's full of gas and it's hot and all of those kinds of things. And our God hath made a house for it. A tabernacle. In the firmament, in the space, there beyond the atmosphere of this earth, God has said, you dwell here. It's how mighty and powerful, large our God is. And it has been burning ever since. He said, let there be light. And He created the sun to rule the day. And it will continue to burn as He sees fit until He is done with it. And of course, He lights eternity with the light of Himself in Jesus Christ. There'd be no need for the sun, as we read there in Revelation 21. But David uses very beautiful and poetic words to describe the circuit, to describe the work, to describe the daily function that we take so much for granted of the sun. Verse 5, describing the sun now, he says, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, his circuit unto the ends of it. We see here David's description. He says, it's like a groom that is all decked out and arrayed and ready to be received as the center of everyone's attention. That's how it was in Bible times. The groom was the center piece or the focal point of the wedding. Today's culture is not that way, but it was then. So he would come all decked out in his wedding apparel and make ready to take his bride. Everyone looking unto him. David says, that's how I see the sun. That God hath put it in his tabernacle and it comes out in the morning as if a bridegroom coming forth to take his bride, triumphant, regal, and splendor. And everyone is looking to it. For the sun brings light and life upon the earth. We see he describes it as a runner, a strong man to come and run a race. That all of heaven, or that all of earth is affected by it. He created this sun, God did of course, and set it on its course. But the last part of verse number 6 is especially important. Because the first time reading through this psalm, as we say sometimes, it appears to be disjointed. He's going on about creation and some beautiful words, and then all of a sudden, verse number 7, things dramatically change. His focus goes to something different. And the reason for the shift into verse number 7 is that creation isn't the only way that God has declared Himself unto man. David understood that. The end of verse number 6, he said, "And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." There's nothing hid from the heat thereof. As David surveyed creation, as he thought about the work of the sun, as he thought about all that God had made, he said that God is declaring Himself in all of this, and there is nothing hid. Nothing hid. The sun, for example, touches everything on the face of the earth. There is nothing hid from His creation. It sees it all. It's affected, affects the entirety of the earth, the sun in particular, as he talks about here. What does that do as you think about that? As you consider and look up to the sky, as many people will tomorrow, and you see the sun that God has made, and realize that there is nowhere upon the earth that that sun does not touch and that is not witnessed unto its effect, then you realize somebody made that. Somebody powerful and mighty made that. God is declaring, "I made that. Look at my handiwork." And if nothing is hid from the sun, then nothing is hid from the God that made the sun either. And you start to begin to get a little bit bigger image and picture of God. God is speaking to us through His creation. Day and night, at all seasons, in all four corners of the earth, God is speaking through His creation, declaring Himself in a general way. And notice David uses in verse number 1 the Hebrew word Elohim for God, talking in general about God's relationship to all of creation. He is the God of creation. Whether you're saved or not, He is the God of all creation. That's how David references Him here in verse number 1. And so in general, God reveals Himself in His creation. He's doing that every single moment of every single day. Nothing is hid from God. But now, let's move on and see the second part of this declaration, for it does not end with creation. But we see the second part of the declaration of God unto man. If we were to say, just like we did with the first part of creation, that it began with the words, "Let there be light." The second part of the declaration of God, if we were to put it in paragraph form or outline form, the second part would begin with these words, "Thus saith the Lord." For as David surveyed creation and glorified God in it and realized that God was speaking to him through all of the birds that were chirping, through all the flowers that were growing, through the sun and the stars and the moon, through the wind that blew and the rain that fell, David understood God was talking to him through that. And then he stepped back and he said, "Wow, God is speaking to me through these things. But what does He expect of me?" It led David to realize, and it leads us to realize today, that God is declaring Himself through His Word. This declaration is more personal and specific in nature. David goes from looking at the whole world in general, the whole creation in general, and how God reveals Himself and says, "Here I am on the throne and ruling creation," to now David narrows that. He says, "God is speaking to me also," or declaring Himself through His Word. This God of creation has some very specific things that He requires of me. And it's in His Word that He declares what those are. Do you see how that, just like in David's experience, a survey of creation and God declaring Himself through it will lead to asking the question, if God made all of this, and God can rule and reign over all of this, and God is in charge and in control of all of this, including me, what does He expect of me? Well, God doesn't leave us in the dark about that. But He declares boldly in His Word what He expects of man. And his right has already been established as the God of creation to expect it. But David's meditation upon the declaration of God in creation led him, as it is designed to consider the laws of God, as we see in verse 7. He switches. Almost, it seems like, so abruptly that you get kind of a whiplash going from one direction to the other, but it is so natural when you really think about it. God made that sun that touches everything. Now let me meditate upon His law. What He says to me specifically. What He expects of me in that place of His law. We see in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Making wise the simple. It is through His word that God declares not only, I am, but in His word, God declares, I am that I am. Not only do I exist, but I have always existed. I have made you, and therefore you are responsible to me, and I will go on existing. I will go on existing. And this book is all about what He expects of man. What He expects of us. Well, we note the purpose of the declaration of creation is to declare the existence of God. We see in this part, in the declaration of commandment, that God reveals Himself to us by showing what is required. David extols the scriptures and the declaration of God in them because they do something for us that creation cannot. By witnessing creation, we can see there's a God. And our conscience certainly can be worked upon, but it can do no more than that. It takes a Spirit of God working through the Scriptures of Almighty God, as it says here in verse 7, to convert the soul. To make a spiritual difference in our life. While what man sees in creation does declare God, think about it this way, all of what we see has been tainted by sin, hasn't it? All of what we touch, all of what we experience, it still reflects the glory of God. It still declares God to us. But because of the fall, because of sin, it has been tainted by sin. And so in that declaration, we see through even eyes that have been affected by sin. We see things that have been affected by sin. But notice what David says in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. God, more specifically and completely, declares Himself to be God in the book that we have before us this morning. God specifically speaks to us today through His word, declaring His perfections, His expectations, and even His righteousness. As we notice there in verse number 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. David is dwelling upon what the Word of God is and what it means to us. Anything we see in creation should point us to God, and it should cause us to go, to understand that God is, to be comforted by that, but also to search out His Word and be drawn to know more about God. Where do we find out more about God? In the book that He has written to declare Himself unto man. He's written an entire book. 66 books being put together all as one volume, really, that declare unto us the perfections, the righteousness, the character, the attributes of God. Don't think today that God doesn't want you to know who He is. Don't think today that God wants to remain hidden from sight, but God boldly says, this is who I am, and this is what I expect of you. What God expects of us isn't hidden either. Can you imagine a world, living in a world to which you could not ever find God? Imagine living in a world where you had no idea what God expected of you in your life. Doesn't sound like much of an existence, does it? But thankfully, we don't have to worry about that. God has declared Himself unto us. In creation, as we have seen, God has also declared Himself by commandment. We see that word again in verse number 9 as we read in verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You see, God declares Himself by commandment. That commandment is pure, and that commandment works to the enlightenment of those that read it. This book does more for us about drawing us and teaching us and causing us to understand about God than anything else. Creation has its place, but it's a general one. The Word of God is much more specific, and it works in a much more specific way. We can all go to the Grand Canyon and rejoice in the glory and splendor of God together in a general way and lift up our voices of praise and thanksgiving unto Him for what He has made. And it should direct us to God and does. But as you do that, you connect it with the Word of God. And it gets more specific into the heart as it enlightens our eyes, as it rejoices the heart, as it says here in verse number 8. Oh, see this book as a bold declaration of God openly showing you. You, not even us here as a group, but you this morning who He is. God desires you to know who He is so much that He wrote a book and has preserved it unto this time. God declares Himself to be God in creation. As we said, David uses that word God in verse number 1, but I want you to notice, when he gets to verse 7, David isn't using the word God anymore, is he? You see, as David talks about creation, and creation declares God in a general way, that word is Elohim, that word is the God of creation. But now as it gets more specific and he is talking about declaring himself through his word or by commandment, we see that David uses the word Jehovah. If you count, he uses that word 7 times. The 7th being in verse 14. He directs us to the fact that not only is God the God of a creation, but He is the Father. He is the all-existent One, the Eternal One, or the Great I Am. God isn't just I Am, as He declares Himself to be in creation, but more specifically, He is I Am that I Am. He is the One that has not beginning of days nor end of life. He is the One that from which all life has sprang, in which all life in its continuing has its power and ability to do so. He is the One which began time and will bring it to its conclusion. He is the One that holds it all together. He is the great self-existent Jehovah, the great I Am. We see again in verse number 10, the word of the Lord is said to be better. Notice in verse 10, more, talking about again 7, 8, 9, David is giving us a list of things to direct us to the Word of God and a list of things that shows us what it does for us. And then in verse 10, of the Word of God, he says, more to be desired are they than gold. He's coming off of talking about creation. He goes into talking about the Word of God, which is spiritual in nature. And then he throws in this imagery of gold. What is gold? Gold is could be seen as the best that creation has to offer, if you will, as far as a possession. The height of, the best of the best, if you will. If you have gold, you really have something. And he says, the Word of God is even better than anything that is upon the earth. He even talks about honey. Honey, of course, being the sweetest natural element upon the earth that God has made. He says, this book is even greater than that. Sweeter to us in life is it than these things. So it's great that we see God in creation even better. That we come and see Him declared personally to us through His Word. And grow in grace and in knowledge to our understanding of who He is. The Word of God is better than either of these things. God declares Himself in this book. Let's make it plain and clear here this morning to the lost. You will not find God apart from the truth and teachings of this book. You will not find the Lord, is a better way to say it. You see God, Elohim, in creation. And He is the God of you in the sense that He created you as He did the other things of the earth. And He will do with you as He pleases, as we know He does. But if you desire to find the Lord Jehovah, to have a relationship with the God of heaven, which is more than just as Creator, but as Father, as God, as your being His, you will not find Him apart from this book. This book declares Him to you. You're not going to find Him anywhere else in this way. In this book, we learn of the God who created all things and the grace He has extended to man. For the saved, we, like David, should be looking to the Word of God today to see what He's declaring to us. The creation should support and should direct us to. When we look up at the stars or under the sky, when we see the variety of things that God has made, should rejoice our heart and drive us to the Word of God to see even more specifically what God would declare unto us. But then there's a third part of this declaration we would like to conclude with this morning. He has talked about His declaration through creation, by commandment, also in His Word. And then lastly, we want to see His declaration through Christ. His declaration through Christ. Once the psalmist had seen the declaration of God in creation, that led him to meditate on His Word, of course, and see His righteousness, His perfection, to see how that God had many expectations for him. And of course, looking at creation should drive us to His Word, as we've said. But this will leave a man feeling undone and incomplete. This will leave a man feeling overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by the fact that God has created all things and that God in Himself is perfect and righteous and holy. That God will not accept anything that is not perfect and righteous and holy. That He cannot look upon nor tolerate sin. That He is perfect. So leave a man feeling undone and incomplete, as it did David. Notice in verse 11, he says, "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them there is great reward." Then in verse 12, he asks this question, "Who can understand his errors?" Truly, who can today? Looking at the Word of God after seeing creation made the errors of David to stick out to him. Caused him to see how undone and incomplete he was without the grace of God. It caused him to understand that he needed that continual remedy if he was to be right with God. It is through Christ that we can meet and have a relationship with God. And so it is the greatest way that God declares Himself unto man is in the person of Jesus Christ. God is declaring Himself still today in the person of Jesus Christ. As we hear the preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," we are driven to the cross. We are driven to Jesus Christ and to His blood shed for the salvation of man. And oh, how we need to rejoice in that today. We see David had an uneasiness over unconfessed sins as he pleads with the Lord, "Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me." He's praying for cleansing from his sin. He's praying that God would enable him to have power over sinful activity, thought, and ideas. God declares Himself through Christ. And it is the most personal way you'll ever experience God. It's the most personal way you'll ever come in contact with God is through the person of Jesus Christ. Seeing God declared in this way made David look at his sins in light of creation, in light of the Word of God, and beg for cleansing. We should follow a similar path today. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19 says, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself." God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Declaring, I am God. And this is how you must come unto Me. There is no other way. Turn over to John chapter 14. We so often quote verse number 6 and read it, but read with me also verse 7. God declares Himself in Christ, not just to be the Creator, not just to be the God that has expectations and requirements of man to have a relationship with Him, but He declares Himself to be a God of grace and a God of mercy. He declares Himself to be a God of salvation. He declares Himself to be a God that will rescue, a God that will deliver, a God that will bring fallen, sinful man unto Himself through the cleansing of sin in the blood of Jesus Christ. God is declaring that today through Jesus Christ. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto Him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also. And from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. Jesus Christ was saying, I have been declaring the Father to you all of this time. You have seen Him, you have heard Him, you have been around Him because He is Me and I am Him. Declare unto you that Jesus Christ is the only remedy for sin today. God is declaring Himself to you to be a gracious, merciful God, making a way of salvation available unto mankind today. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God declaring Himself openly through Christ the way of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling Himself to the world. Those two verses go so hand in hand. That He was in Christ, that He was declaring Himself to be the Savior in the way of salvation. Paul also wrote to Timothy and talked to him about the Scriptures being able to make you wise unto salvation, because they openly declare that Jesus Christ is the way to have eternal life. And what did we say last week was eternal life? Eternal life is an ongoing and continual relationship with God that will never end. That's what eternal life is all about. God declares you can have that, but only through Jesus Christ. What a glorious thing that the declaration of God wasn't just through creation and to keep us at arm's length as a beast of the field or as a fowl of the air. Praise God that it wasn't just through commandment. Here are My requirements which you fall woefully short of and have no hope of living up to. But we see this declaration is full and complete because it's through Christ. God declares there is a way. And that way is through the shed blood of My Son. In commandments, God says, I am. Or in creation, God says, here I am. In commandment, God says, this is who I am. And through Christ, God declares, this is how you have a relationship with Me. The complete package from this psalm, the declaration of God, each declaration leading to a greater understanding of God, more blessings in life, and ultimately salvation. David ends in verse 14 by saying, let the words of My mouth and the meditation of My heart be acceptable in Thy sight. How can that be? Except it be through Christ. O Lord, O Jehovah, My strength and My Redeemer. David rejoiced that he had the very thing that he needed, that he had that relationship. We ought to read this psalm and rejoice with David if we're saved by the grace of God. And if you're lost here this morning, realize that God can be found. Realize that He is available, that He is open, and that the way of salvation is still free today. God declares Himself to be a merciful God, having mercy upon sinners, as He has since the time of Adam. He still is today. What does it take? All it takes is repentance and faith. Repentance means that godly sorrow over sin. Repented of towards the Father. And of course, faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But in your belief in the fact that Jesus Christ died upon the cross. Oh, how we pray you'll have that faith today to believe. That you come to the saving knowledge of Christ today. God has declared these things. Have we heard? Have we listened? Do we see? I pray you'll think about that as we stand and sing. That's for the mic. Musicians to come.